And we're going to start the introduction right now so we can officially start doing that.
Welcome to the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room Podcast. Hear that? We are here to podcast about anything and everything Star Wars with you. Please visit our website where you can play current and past episodes. That's https://rabr.kylejohansson.us. That's R-A-B-R.
It's down there somewhere.
A-I-L-E-J-O-H-A-N-S-E-N.us. On the left-hand side is a navigation menu. You can use this to learn how to load the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room podcast on your Android or Apple phone and tablet. And we have direct links to our podcast on Apple and Google Podcasts. Please participate by connecting to our social media, answering questions of the week, or submitting feedback directly from the site.
Please.
Again, all of these are available at the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room website at rabr.kylejohansson.us. And now, it's time to talk Star Wars.
Yes, it is. Star Wars.
I am Kyle John Johansson, and this is Andrew Scott Sutton.
No, it isn't.
Hello.
No, it isn't. Andrew actually told me, you know, Scott, our buddy, told me that he wasn't going to be able to make it today. He officially told me that. But we have Rick also. Rick is going to be, seems to be a fixture of the show nowadays, so eventually we'll get him in the intro. I did find the audio for that that doesn't have my voiceover on it, so I could probably re-record it easily. I'm also considering just recording a small, tiny snippet and then splicing it in. That'll be easier. I don't have to say as much when I'm doing it.
There you go.
Yeah, so today we're reviewing Star Wars The Bad Batch Season 3, Episode 5. Called The Return. We're going to discuss that in detail. We'll be doing an unboxing as well, and I'm going to show a little bit of our website just to you know, get people familiar with it. I know we don't have a lot of visitors and stuff, but there's some different things on here that I think people will find useful if they're even interested in what we have to say or anything like that. So we're going to start out with the website. Let me get the page here. This is one. Can you see that, Rick?
I do.
Yeah, there. So this is what it looks like today. This is live. And it has our logo up here because we're waiting for a video to be recorded that we're recording right now. And it says episode 15 or season 15, which is how many different seasons the podcast is recorded, and we use a season as a show. So The Bad Batch season 3 is our season 15. And then we're on episode 5 of this season, which corresponds with the Bad Batch episode. And I kind of wanted to point out here, there's, you know, if you come visit our site, if you see the published dates in green like this, that means we haven't published it yet. It's going to be published around the time that it's estimating over here. It says 10 p.m. March 9th, which is today. And then the video says March 10th at 11:30 p.m. That's an estimate of when I think I can get it online. And if we go back a previous episode, see, now you can see there's a video up there, and there's actually a real link that goes to the audio version of the podcast right below it. And I want to point out that we have a very detailed listing of our, you know, our outline for the podcast, and I list every single cast member and a link to their IMDb page. So if you want to know more about them, you know, like where did I see that person before, you can click on it from here and go to it. And then I have usually a breakdown of, I don't know what you call them, chapters inside of the episode. That when we're going through discussion, we go through them. I don't name out the chapters because nobody sees them when they're watching the show anyway. And at the bottom, you'll see this seasons listing. And seasons, like I said, is seasons of our show. If you click on it, you'll see a listing of every show that we've ever, every season we've ever done. Season one was Book of Boba Fett, season one, and so on. And then underneath each is the individual podcast episodes that we have. For Bad Batch season one, there's all the podcasts. These are for the movies. You can see the movie logos. If you click on the movie logo, it'll take you to the podcast for that movie. I don't want to spend too much time on most of this, but I wanted to see there's a social media link on the left-hand side, like we advertise. And so wait a second. It loads up and we have our Twitter feeds here. One is the Super Duper Pod Twitter feed. This is a live version of the feed. And then I have Juan's Cantina has their own Twitter feed, which hasn't been updated for a while. But then I have links to our other social medias too. This link to Rebel Alliance briefing room on Blue Sky. And, just for fun, I've created some feeds in Blue Sky, and one of them is Star Wars, of course. I've got one here for Kansas City Area Sports, which is a pretty good one. Anyway, on the left-hand side, there's also this feedback link. You come to this form, and you can fill it out. It asks you, what is your Jedi or Sith name? That's just another way of saying, what do you want us to call you? And then down here, you can put in your feedback of our podcast. Also over here is a link that says Listen to Podcast On. If you click on that, it gives you a listing of all the locations our podcast, main locations our podcast is listed. It's all over the place on the internet. Most of those podcast providers have it. So, we're on Apple, we're on Amazon, we're on iHeartRadio, we're on this JioSaavn, which is a Indian thing. We're on YouTube. YouTube is now hosting all the podcasts because Google Podcast is going away and they're switching it over to YouTube, which makes sense in a way, but I've gotten used to that thing. And then finally, for fun, we have a Star Wars timeline over here. Rick uses it every once in a while. He can never find it, but he uses it. And it has a timeline of most everything that's to do with movies and the Disney shows. Like here, you can see on the screen, The Acolyte's supposedly going to be starting in the fall. They haven't set an exact date yet. But there's where The Acolyte takes place. We scroll down here. We find our Bad Batch down here. Somewhere between episode 3 and the Solo movie that took place. And then here's all our Mandalorian and Ahsoka and all that stuff. Skeleton Crew is supposed to be coming out this year, too. I think we actually have one of those has an actual official date. I think it's The Acolyte. Maybe it's June. Skeleton Cruise in the fall.
One of them's like June, end of June, I think.
Yeah. I think it's The Acolyte.
I think you're right.
I'm not 100% sure without looking it up right now. Anyway, so we've got all these fun things on our website. That's all I really wanted to say about the website. Let me stop sharing that. And I'm going to share again, though. If I can find the screen I want. Hello, screen. Where are you at? Try again. Here it is. Okay. And I want to share sound. So you tell me how loud this is when we start, okay? So I'm going to do the unboxing. You should see the video screen on your screen now. This is, of course, an unboxing of a video or of a Funko Pop. Now we have a special treat. It's unboxings. Did you hear that?
Yeah, that's good.
All right, let's play the video and see how that sounds. I've turned up the volume. I noticed last time when I was recording my set by myself that it wasn't very loud. So let's play.
Hey, here we go with another unboxing.
Yeah. Sounds good.
get this one open here. Cool. Everybody's excited about this one. Get some of that crowd. Yeah, let me get it. Oh, yeah. Okay. There we go.
Jeez.
Ooh. Oh, it says Ahsoka.
It says, oh.
Who's that? It looks like their old buddy Throny.
It's the blue guy.
83. 680. Oh, this is the one. Number 683. He's got an earlier version from, the animated series, the Rebels animated series. And it's like $100 now, I think. I don't know if Fanhead's wrong. I haven't been able to find it because it was special release too. So it's not like it's readily available everywhere. But there's Shredden Mothron. There's his little red beady eyes looking at you going, I'm going to get you. All right, that's the end of this one.
All right, let's stop that sharing. There we go. That was a quick one, yeah.
I've got a blue envy.
That's awesome. I got a blue Woody. Oh. You turned my audio back on. Okay, let's get some cheers from the people for the unboxing. Yay. Yay. All right, so that brings us back to our discussion and everything. I don't have any news necessarily except for what we just talked about. I'm going to push my spoiler button, though. Spoiler. Danger. Spoiler, Will Robinson.
Danger.
Spoiler alert.
All right. All that really means is we're going to talk about the show and we're going to spoil anybody who hasn't seen it. So you better watch it. And at the end of the show, I'm going to probably mention the title of the next episode. So if you don't want to hear it, maybe don't listen all the way to the end. But I was going to talk about it for a minute because I think it has a little bit to do with our timeline and some of our theories and stuff. So anyway, The Bad Batch season 3 episode 3 or season 3 episode 5 The Return had a very short cast this week. I don't know if you noticed, Rick, but it was only our batchers. There was nobody else, no flashbacks, anybody except for the robot, the AZ that was holding the fruit up for Crosshair. That's the only other character. So, let me go through that list. So the director was Nate Villanova. Writer was Amanda Rose Munoz. Editor was Matt Mikovich. Miknovich, whatever. Music score was Kevin Kinner, Sean Kinner, and Deanna Kinner, of course. And then our cast, as I said, was short. D. Bradley Baker plays Hunter, Wrecker, Echo, Crosshair, and Batcher the dog. I don't know, he doesn't look that big, really. Still a pup, I guess. Then there was Omega, who's played by Michelle Ang. And as I said, AZI-3 is played by Ben Diskin. And this episode originally aired on March 6th. It was about 27 to 28 minutes long. And it takes place in our timeline that we showed around 18 before the Battle of Yavin, which I always tell everybody, the Battle of Yavin is when the first Death Star blew up. So what that means is we're going to do a commercial real quick so I can get a drink.
Are you planning your next trip to Tatooine? Well,
come on down to Pelly's Mod and Repair Shop, where our droids will spruce up your wagon. We'll service just about anything from Starfighter Corellian Y-1300 freighter to a Vespa hovering scooter. If we don't have the part, We can get it. If you qualify for our special program, we'll provide you with any part our Jawas can get.
Freaky clean.
Well, that's right. Come on down to Pelly's Mod and Repair Shop, where we can store fuel and upgrade your vessel. We're located at Tatooine's Mos Eisley Spaceport, Hangar 35.
You can't really see my shirt, but this is Max Rebo, the band guy. The blue band guy.
He was in
The Mandalorian. And he was in the original Star Wars and a couple other shows.
Cool.
So what that means is it's time to grab your favorite beverage, pull up a chair, and join us in the Rebel Alliance briefing room while we talk about the episode. Alright, so the first thing we see in the episode is Omega waking up from a night's sleep. And she's squinting at the sunlight and all that stuff, and she gets a smile on her face. Oh, this is nice, and I'm not in cages anymore. And she enters she enters the common area of the Marauder, where she is greeted by Wrecker and Hunter. Wrecker gives a fruit scent from Shep and Lana, which we didn't see, but they gave the fruit. When Omega asks about Crosshair, Hunter replies that he is still adjusting. Whatever that means. Outside, Omega finds, she says she's going to go check on him. And so she goes outside and finds herself on the ocean world of Pabu, where she is greeted by AZI way off in the distance. Batcher is playing with several Munyo among the rocks, while Crosshair is practicing with his blaster, but it's his rifle.
His rifle.
It's his blaster rifle? I don't know. I always thought the blaster was the handheld.
He's got a
It's a rifle with a scope on it.
Long range blaster.
Exactly. Omega tells Crosshair that he needs to talk to Hunter, but the older clone insists on training. It says older there, but we find out later that Omega corrects him and says, "Hey, I'm older than you, boy, little boy." That's basically what she says. He insists on training. He needs to train to, figure out what's going on with the handshake.
Got a little shake going on.
He's getting the tremors. And maybe it's because of an injury, or maybe it's because of his, he doesn't trust himself anymore. We don't know.
Or his experiments at the,
true. That's the other thing I'm thinking of. Like,
the whole jackal out of his head.
Yeah. Well, that's, we remember that from a previous season where he pulled out, that's where that chip was that Order 66 happened from. He had his removed before the rest of our batchers or our clone force did. When they separated and they found him again, he says, "Oh, I already had it removed, and you guys still have it," and stuff like that. Omega never had it. Anyway, Omega asks him about his shooting and what kind of skills are required, and he's, "I need to concentrate. It's more about, you need to calculate the wind and the angle and all that fun stuff." And he basically tells her that it's more than the scope, because the scope helps out, but you gotta tweak the scope a little bit so you're on target and all that stuff based on the wind. And Crosshair's is reluctant to talk to the other members of the Bad Batch because he thinks they don't trust him. And he notices in the background that they're up there watching while her and Omega are talking. And she basically says, "You need to give them some time. It's been a while and you did some things and they're not trusting you because you came after them and whatever." And we go up to the cliff, and Hunter is questioning their decision to give Crosshair back the rifle so early. And Wrecker says, well, you know, I trust Omega. If Omega thinks it's okay, then it's okay. And Wrecker might be a little too trustworthy, but he's probably right. Omega and the other clones spot Echo's starship coming in. The Remora is the name of that starship. It's approaching the island, and AZ tells Crosshair that his targeting accuracy is today was 53%. Well below his average, which is usually 100%, as far as I could tell.
Yeah.
At the landing field, the clones gather outside Echo's starship, and Omega hugs Echo. Crosshair grumbles, no hug for me? What's wrong with you? Yeah, Crosshair's got a definitely has a complex about, you know, everybody hating him, which I kind of get, because he's done some stuff, right?
Legitimately so.
Yeah. So he's got a guilt complex, basically.
A little bit.
And Echo tells him, he says, you know, it really depends on what your intelligence you've got for me turns out to be. If it's good stuff, I may hug you and kiss you. He doesn't say the kiss you part, but later in the evening, Omega briefs Echo and the other clones about the Tanis base. She recalls that she encountered former clone troopers in the detention wing, but never saw what was stored in the Tanis vault. Dun, dun, dun. We know what's in there. Necromancer. When Echo asks Crosshair if he has anything to add, Crosshair responds that he never saw much because he was just a prisoner. They kept him in a cell most of the time. But they did walk him back and forth to get blood samples, I guess. So I wonder how many times he actually got out to walk around or anything. Echo explains that they're trying to gather as much information on Tanis base before they make their next move. And they still don't even know the coordinates. And Omega says, oh, wait a minute. I still have this data pad. It doesn't work right now, but I still have it. You know, it's a piece of shit. It doesn't work. Oops, I said that dirty word. She believes that it can provide them with useful information if they get it back online. Oh. Hunter thinks it could provide schematics and coordinates of the base itself. Echo says that the Imperial encryption will be tricky to bypass in light of Tech's death. Moment of silence for Tech's death. We're sad. Okay. Crosshair proposes bypassing the Imperial encryption by accessing the Imperial terminal. That's kind of risky. I don't know. When Wrecker asks where they will find one, Crosshair says he knows of a remote facility. Easy to infiltrate. And we find out, you know, that sure it is. There's nobody there. Because he killed them all. No.
You smell an ambush.
Yeah. Hunter says that he, Echo, and Crosshair will scout the facility while Wrecker and Omega will stay on Pabu. Omega protests about being separated again. She says, we just got back together. Come on. You're my brothers. Hunter explains that they just got her back and he doesn't want to risk her getting captured again. And Omega feels bad about the clones that were left on Wayland, and she must do this. So later that night,
let me go. If you don't let me go, it's going to be bad.
It's going to be bad news for you. Later that night, Omega helps the other clones load supplies for their mission. Crosshair tells Omega not to be too upset with Hunter. Well, she is capable, but she is still a kid. And this is where Omega says, hey, I'm actually older than you, buddy. You're my little brother.
Calls him little brother.
Little brother is what she says. Wrecker passes Crosshair a chest containing his old armor and says they didn't feel right. It didn't feel right for them to getting rid of it. Hey, I just got a notification that we got a new follower on Twitter. How exciting. They're watching us live. Doubtful. But okay, so they didn't feel it was right to get rid of his old armor, so they kept it. And you know, that's a good gesture too, showing they trust him and stuff. Here's your armor. We're going on a mission. You need to have it.
As a sentimental guy, poor sap.
Yeah. Wrecker is. Yeah, I don't know. Crosshair was a little different this time. We'll talk about it a little bit more here going forward. But he seemed to, I don't know, he was all grouchy with Omega when they were escaping. And now that they've escaped, he's like really friendly, which is kind of weird, but. Omega and Batcher accompany the Bad Batch to the snowy planet. So somewhere we missed it where they said you could go. But I need to take Batcher with me. If you take me, I have to take Batcher. We missed that part. It didn't say it anywhere.
Well, that was a four-hour temper tantrum that they couldn't put on there. So you know.
Yeah, true. People are tired of the temper tantrum, so they cut it out, I guess.
Edited that part.
So Echo's ship sensors pick up no life forms as they park outside the abandoned Imperial Depot. Hunter notices the base is remote, but not abandoned, and asks Crosshair if he has unfinished business on the planet. Batcher is stimulated by a sensor. When Hunter asks Crosshair, explains that the sensors were planted to deter raiders. Oh, my head that fell out. Your earbud fell out.
Uh-oh.
I want to be able to hear you, Rick.
Swatted.
Okay. Yeah. Crosshair explains the sensors were planted to deter raiders. Dun dun dun.
Raiders.
Tusken raiders in the
snow.
In the snow, yeah. We've never seen that. They're always in the desert. Crosshair responds that the raiders have been eliminated. And Hunter says something like, how are you sure about that? How do you think? I did it myself, basically. Before an argument breaks out between Hunter and Crosshair, Echo tells them to calm down and focus on the mission to crack this data pad. When Omega reminds Crosshair that she advised him to speak with Hunter and not argue with him, Crosshair blames Hunter for starting it. It's always somebody else's fault.
What?
Yeah. It's somebody else's fault. Let me pass the buck. With Batcher's help, the clones remove the snow blocking the entrance to the depot, and it seems that Batcher is a better digger than the other ones, so they let him finish digging.
Yeah.
Once they get inside, they find several terminals, and Omega finds that the depot's power has been nearly depleted by the sensors. Almost gone. Echo decides they need to divert all power from the sensors to the depot so they can get into this data pad. When Wrecker asks why the Galactic Empire abandoned the base, Crosshair believes that it had outlived its purpose by the Imperials.
Yeah, that was really not an answer. He didn't really give much.
Yeah. And this is the episode where this is the base where Crosshair killed the captain or whatever, the Imperial captain.
Yeah.
And they were already evacuating the base anyway.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. So inside the depot, Crosshair finds the discarded helmets and armor of his fallen clone troopers that he was stationed there. And, you know, they had him set up on a shelf and they were all on the ground. So he puts them back up on the shelf and kind of, you know, sits down and reminisces about his time there. Helmets, Omega, Hunter is watching in the background, kind of wondering what's going on with Crosshair. And then Omega powers down the sensors and diverts the power to the main building. Examining the data pad, Echo learns more clone troopers are being held at Mount Tanis than he thought. Uh-oh. More than he thought. Outside the depot, something notices the sensors are down and begins approaching the base.
Dun, dun, dun.
Ground's shaking and Batcher starts to bark anxiously. Ow, 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 ow. Which you think he'd be a little more, from what he's based off of, he should be a little more aggressive, but whatever.
He's still now, that he's
tamed, I guess he doesn't bark and growl like crazy or anything.
Domesticated.
Yeah, domesticated. Batcher barks anxiously while Crosser decides to go outside. He says, hey, you know, that Batcher's got a good idea. There's something out there. I'm going to go investigate. And Hunter follows him. Where are we at? Omega focuses on the data pad transfer while Crosshair and Hunter exit to talk to each other. Hunter senses Crosshair is not being forthcoming and asks what he did to fall out of favor with the Empire. He asks if Crosshair betrayed the Empire like he betrayed them. Inside, Echo has completed the extraction of the data from the datapad, which consists mainly of medical records of clone prisoners. Batcher senses something outside and begins to growl even more. Outside, Hunter demands answers from Crosshair. He says, I'm not leaving until you give me answers, and he pushes on him really hard. Knocks him back a little bit. Crosshair tells Hunter that he killed an Imperial officer, emphasizing that he betrayed them after they betrayed him. So the Empire betrayed him, so he betrayed them.
Right.
Again, it wasn't his fault. They betrayed him first. Crosshair says that he risked everything to send the message from Tanis, but they ignored him. Crosshair blames Hunter for letting Omega get captured and taken to Tanis. He accuses Hunter for being angry because she escaped with his help and not Hunter's help. Before a fight can break out, they hear Batcher barking again. A giant serpentine worm, and they spell it W-Y-R-M, emerges from the snow and chases the clones back to the depot. Omega realizes the perimeter sensors were used to ward off the worm. That'd be a good deduction, huh?
So smart.
She's so smart. That's why she's the older one, right?
Exactly.
Echo decides that they need to restore power to the perimeter sensors. Really? You sure?
Yeah. Heard inside.
Crosshair says that there's a fuse box for reserve energy grid at the back of the compound. One of them needs to get over there and reset the grid manually. And Wrecker volunteers. He says, I'll do it. I'm ready. I'll do it. Put me in, coach. And then Omega says that she can reactivate the defense system once the power is back online. Hunter says they need to draw the creature away from the sensor perimeter before they can reboot, or they'll be trapped with the creature inside the perimeter. He's a smart one, yeah.
Way to use his head.
He's got some good thoughts up there. Crosshair volunteers to draw the worm away, but Hunter insists on doing it as a team, which is good. You should always do it in pairs, right? You know what they always tell you? Two is better than one.
Done.
Yep. Exiting the depot, Crosshair and Hunter attempt to lure the worm away from the perimeter. The creature gives chase, causing the ground to crack beneath them. Hunter falls into a hole. Oh no, he's trapped. And we actually hear Crosshair yell out, Hunter! Which, means he actually does have feelings for him a little bit.
There's.
He's not as bad as he used to be or something.
Oh, yeah.
Would he yell after him if he was, being a good soldier for the Empire? I don't know.
Maybe he's a good actor.
He's a good actor, yeah.
And the Academy Award goes to.
Which Hunter falls into a hole, which leads to a tunnel after discussing with Crosshair, Hunter decides to use the tunnel to lure the worm away, and Crosshair is going to track him from above with a Batcher. Yeah. Meanwhile, Wrecker searches for the fuse box behind the compound, which is buried beneath snow again, so he has to dig a hole and so he can get into the door. Echo warns Crosshair that the worm is pursuing him and Batcher. Crosshair makes a stand and shoots at the creature, agitating it, causing it to dive deeper beneath the snow. And he's actually shooting, it looks like he's shooting on target.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Or close.
He still has the, he still lifts up his hand and is shaking a little bit, but he seems to be shooting on target. The creature's agitated and causing him to dive deeper. Wrecker manages to enter the fuse box and finds the power breaker. Crosshair and Batcher reach the perimeter. Batcher begins digging at a weak point in the ice so they can get to Hunter. Crosshair uses his rifle to smash the ice, and he, I think he shoots some holes to make it break up a little bit too. With Omega's guidance, Wrecker activates the navigator, restoring power. So he has to prime it, which is funny. You know, in the future, why would you need to necessarily prime anything? And then he turns the switches and it comes up. And Hunter races underground towards the perimeter with the worm in pursuit. Ooh, it's so tense and exciting. He reaches the hole that Crosshair and Batcher have dug, and they manage to pull him out. You see Crosshair put his gun down for Hunter to grab onto and climb up. Yeah. And they do it all just in time before the worm grabs Hunter. It was so close.
Nick so attack. Close.
That close. Very close. The two clones and Batcher reach the perimeter just as Omega activates it. The perimeter fences let out a sonic wave that irritates the worm. And it starts to whine and grumble, and I find it hard to believe, but whatever. It drives it away, and he turns the worm turns around and leaves. Just because of a signal. But, well, I mean,
they're probably playing Taylor Swift songs.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah, don't say that too loud around your family. Batcher barks at the creature. Raff, we got you, Raff, Raff. Following their mission, Hunter and Crosshair return as friends, you know, because they had a moment together. Aww. Wrecker also hugs them both when they return. He says, I knew they would get back to get settle things. And Echo is pleased that the rest of the clones managed to resolve their differences peacefully.
Yes, yes.
While the datapad did not yield information about Tanis's location, Echo reassures Omega that the information she and Crosshair provided will help him and Rex find the clone prisoners. He assures Omega that she has done what she could have done and done what she should have done, meaning she's done everything she could have and she escaped like she was supposed to. It was very important that she escaped. Later, Crosshair speaks with Hunter, admitting that he underestimated the Empire's malevolence, their evilness, their cunningness, whatever. Hunter says that nobody really understood what was happening back then, because the Emperor was in control. That's why nobody understood. Still yeah. In control. Crosshair expresses regret for his past actions. Is he really, though? I don't know. Hunter says that he also regrets, but that they should keep striving to be better together. And they see a bird screeching up in the sky, and Crosshair looks up there, and the clones depart in Echo's ship. Now we got credits rolling. Credits are rolling. So, with all that, we want your feedback very much. Please. Send us the feedbacks. You can do that by email, feedback@kyledranson.us. We have the link I mentioned on the website. It's on the left-hand side that says feedback. You click it. It's a form you fill out, and it comes to us. We are on social media on Twitter, @super_duper_pod. Blue Sky is at Rebel Alliance Briefing Room, one word. And, of course, we post videos and audio to YouTube, so you can comment there as well. All right, Rick, what did you think?
This one was one of the more boring ones.
Really?
I mean, there was stuff that we knew was going to happen. We knew Echo was coming back. We knew there was going to be that,
reunion. So more predictable than anything.
Yeah. I mean, it was just, there wasn't a lot, and there weren't a lot of characters. I mean, like we said, you know, it was the Batchers and Batcher and the robot. That was it. I mean, it was something that had to happen. I mean, we had to have it happen, but it was not very eventful. And the data, they didn't really get anything exciting. I mean, what we know, they didn't get anything exciting off the data. Like, they didn't even leave us with anything like oh, there's a tidbit of, ooh, there's a little
more. Not really. I mean, they basically realize that getting to the base is more urgent now because there's more than they thought, but that was really it. That's all they found.
Yeah, so I don't know. It was okay, but it was just kind of like, but I understand the purpose of it. So
I bet if in future episodes, you know, they're going to find out that, you know, they looked at the data more and they're like, what are these guys doing? Oh, why are they looking for M count? What is an M count? You know?
Yeah.
I think they're going to dive deeper into that and find out, but I don't know. I'm still sticking with my theory that, we're going to end up with Omega surrendering herself to the Empire.
Think so?
I think so still. Yeah.
Could be. I don't know. So, so what's your thoughts on Crosshair? Is he a double agent? Is he on the up and up, or what do you think?
I don't know. He's doing an awful good job of looking like he's reformed again, I guess. I don't know what you would call that. I still have my suspicions a little bit, but also I want the team to be together too. So, you know, I'm hoping that, I'm sure the next episode we're going to see, you know, everything seems to be back to normal. But again, is he still playing that game, or is it real? You know, I don't know.
Part of me, Hemlock's got him, like he implanted something. Cause that whole thing on his head, like I get, you know, he was damaged or whatever, but I think there's more to that. And these guys, when they were having him, they were walking him back and forth. Like, they were doing something to him. They weren't just drawing blood. I mean, you know, so that's a little bit about part of me that says that, oh, yeah, he's kind of under that. But the other part of me thinks that now that he's back with these guys, he realizes what they're doing. Okay, maybe he did something bad, and now he can, you know, do something to redeem himself. I don't know. Yeah. I'd say it's about a 90-10 right now that I think he's on the straight and narrow. The 10% is that, you know, Hemlock's got something up his sleeve, you know?
Yeah, it could be.
I don't know.
I mean, if he's got the full power of the Empire behind him, which we know the Emperor said he did, he could call on any resource he wanted, right? You know, they've got to have, they're going to find him eventually. I'm just worried that they're going to find the Pabu too, which I also hope they don't find, because I think that what Crosshair's been through, you know, with the Empire and with obviously the Batchers as Clone Force 99 in general, that he's probably likes the idea of retiring on this planet. He hasn't really said that per se, but you know, it feels to me, probably because he complains a lot, but feels to me that Crosshair's been through a lot more than the rest of our crew has.
I think so. I think after he left them and went with the Empire, he was forced to do things that he didn't want to, but he did because he felt like he was obligated following orders. And now he realizes that following orders was not necessarily the right thing to do. And so,
yeah, exactly.
That's why I don't necessarily think that he's on the, you know, he's going to do harm intentionally. But I also think there's a possibility that he might have stuff that he doesn't even know or is aware of.
Yeah, because he's been knocked out cold a couple times when we've seen him on one of those beds or whatever. So they could be doing anything while he's out cold.
And we know that they've put chips in him in the past. So who's to say what chip they put in him now? So,
right. Exactly.
I don't know. I think he's on the up and up for the most part, the majority part. But I also think he thinks that, you know, he's done so much bad that he can never redeem himself necessarily, or maybe he can. And does he think that they will, you know, trust him enough to be able to redeem himself? I see something bad happening to him before the series is over. I see him like sacrificing himself or something.
Yeah, maybe
like.
So maybe so. I don't know. I mean, I think it's weird that our team is retiring basically to this island.
Yeah,
you know, because they have an inherent need to serve. You know, because that's what they were cloned and spliced and designed to do, you know. And that's why, you know, in my mind, that's why Crosshair did what he did, is because he knew that he was bred to follow orders.
Yeah.
On purpose, you know, and why should he question those orders? That's what he's been trained to do for his whole life, which, you know, to be honest, that's our military does a little bit of that too. You know, they're, if you don't follow orders, then you can get court-martialed and whatever. Right. Same thing. And as a clone, I could see where that would be more detrimental, because if he's not in the military, what else is he going to do? He doesn't know how to do anything else, you know? He doesn't know how to go fix and mod repair.
And we've seen that with Rex and the other clones, that Rex has kind of helped out too. Like, they don't have any other skills, so they're like coming back in time to adapt, which, you know, I mean, that's an age old connection between people who've served in the military and seen combat and seen things like that, to come back to a, you know, world that is completely vastly different and acclimate back into. So,
and then they've got, you know, a little bit of PTSD from what they saw and what they did.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know. I think his character is definitely the more conflicted, complex right now.
Right. I think so too. I mean, Hunter and Wrecker are pretty much the same as they have always been.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe Echo too. Echo is a tiny bit different because he's working with Rex now, but it's still the same.
Yeah.
Echo is actually doing more work. It seemed like when he was with the Batchers, he wasn't doing as much. Everybody else was pulling the weight and stuff. And now he's pulling weight with Rex. So
he has a purpose now. He's found a niche to fit into and do something purposefully.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's, you know, that's why we see them in the Rebels later. We see Echo and Rex are in the Rebels doing this stuff that they're supposedly doing. I don't know. I'm trying to think. And like I said, Omega is an unknown because she doesn't exist in any other time, any other show.
Yeah.
There isn't even a mention of her in any of them. You know, nothing. Which means, you know, she's a pretty good secret to start with. And, you know,
or
if she exists, nobody wants to talk about her because they don't want anybody to find her, Empire to find her.
Or something has happened to her, and the only people that do know her are the people that are the Bad Batch, and, you know.
Yeah.
The limited contact that she's had with folks.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know. It's just weird, you know, it's always been a plot hole in all of Star Wars, this how the Emperor came back to life, you know. What was his focus? You know, there was always talk about this bigger plan that, you know, we never knew about. They never talked about it. It was such a secret. And, you know, in this show, we're finding out what that plan was. And hopefully, before it ends, we'll find out how our crew affects that. You know, if they're the ones that end it and stuff. What is it? It's not Solo, but it's the it's the one before it, or the one after it.
Rogue One, Andor.
Yeah, Andor is where they go and they kill Mount Tanis, I think.
Yeah, with Saw Gerrera and those guys.
Yeah.
What were you thinking of?
Not,
I don't know.
Andor, but the movie, Rogue One. No, nope, that's not true. That's not true, because they only blow up that planet that gets blown up by the Death Star.
Yeah.
It has to be. Shit.
That's where they get the blueprints for the Death Star. That's
right.
Yeah.
And that's like,
that's a different planet. Yeah.
It's a different planet.
I don't know. I saw something kind of interesting. I don't know. I was looking at something about reading between Palpatine and Rey, and how the Bad Batch
Rogue One, that's what it was called.
Setting those together. Which was it?
Rogue One was the movie. I was thinking of the name.
Yeah.
I did say that, but I don't know. I swear one of those movies, they destroyed Mount Tanis.
Well, you got homework now. You have to go back and watch Rogue One.
Well, it could also just been in the Clone Wars series, too.
True.
I don't remember anymore. Anyway, yeah, I mean, your theory about, you were talking about with Rey and them at the throne and stuff.
Yeah, with Palpatine and then the whole clone, or the what's in the vault, basically.
Yeah.
So they're trying to make a connection between him and what's going on in the vault to Palpatine, or to Rey as being a Palpatine.
So, oh, you think Rey is a clone? Is what you're trying to say?
Well, no, they are saying that Rey's dad was one of Palpatine's clones that didn't, you know, make it or wasn't successful, and that's how they're connecting Palpatine to Rey.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
So
that his dad, her dad, was actually alive, you know, in the Rogue One where they talk about, or not Rogue One, where they talk about her parents being kidnapped or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They were both there, but he eventually either died or he got killed by the Empire somehow. But I think you're right. I think he was a clone. I've seen that somewhere else too.
I don't know. I just saw it like a couple of days ago. I thought it was kind of interesting. I didn't follow up. I just, you know, kind of saw that little, like, it was kind of like a timeline, like a family tree kind of thing. I don't even remember where I saw it, but like they went with Rey and then Rey's dad. Dane or Dalpy or whatever. I can't think of what the name of it was. And then they were saying that he actually was one of Palpatine's clones, but didn't meet the criteria for Palpatine because of the midichlorian count not being high enough. And somehow he wasn't terminated or gotten rid of, but went on to survive. And then they were going back saying, well, he was one of the, you know, clones that was in that vault there on Tanis. So
could be. And I don't know. I think part of Palpatine's plan, was always to have Rey by his side in the end, meaning he there was a reason why she existed.
Yeah.
She didn't, it wasn't just because a clone went and had sex with some other person or whatever. It was because he wanted someone to be by his side at the end.
Well, it was a Sith master, right. and you know, I guess exactly. Acolyte. Was that what they're called, acolytes, right?
Right, yeah.
So
yeah, exactly. And you know, he never had really anybody by his side after Vader.
Yeah.
There was Thrawn a little bit, but Thrawn was never an apprentice or anything. Thrawn was just a military guy that, you know, did a lot of bidding for the Emperor.
Served his purpose, but didn't really qualify for what his criteria were.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was just an interesting thing I saw that was kind of like, oh, you know, because they're kind of throwing out a lot of stuff right now with that whole Project Necromancer and you know, everybody's trying to try to figure out what's that, where that's going. And, you know, we've got what, this is episode 5. So we've got eight episodes left. So everybody's just kind of throwing stuff out, trying to figure out how to make the connection. So,
yeah, I am too. I mean, we know it's always been there, and yeah. I'm pretty sure you know, when we saw on Exegol in the last movie, those were clones too that were in tubes and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So I'm almost positive that somehow Palpatine figured out how to, in time, to transfer those clones somewhere else.
For sure.
They had a backup plan where they could transport them or whatever.
Well,
or they'd already been transported something.
Kind of like a Bacta tube that they just put them in hibernation until they were needed. Because that was the whole thing with, like, they were talking is the moving his essence basically from one body to another body so that he just lives continuously forever and ever, you know?
Right. And that's one of the essence thing is one of the supposed things that only a Sith can do through the Force.
So then you got to kind of go ahead and figure out, well, how does Snoke figure into some of this and play into that, you know, like, so yeah. there's a lot of time that's got to get
put Snoke together. Is definitely a failed experiment as well. Yeah. And his powers weren't that as strong as they were supposed to be either, but he needed a figurehead basically. So Snoke took the place. And he basically controlled Snoke from afar, you know, like we saw happen in the movies. But yeah, Snoke, I honestly, the director that created Snoke, I have no idea why he created Snoke. It didn't feel like it needed to be there.
Yeah. So, but you got to connect them somehow because you can't just put him out there and then say, oh, well, that was just part of that movie, you know, like, yeah. So.
I'm pretty sure he was just a puppet head, figurehead. Yeah.
There's a lot that's got to go on in the next few episodes. So I haven't seen we're just kind of moving on, I guess, but I haven't seen the title for the next episode. So tell me that because I don't know that.
Yeah, I said I was going to do that, didn't I?
Yes,
it's called infiltration. Mm. So what I think that means is they're going to try to infiltrate Tannis. I don't know. There's no real description because I don't want to give any spoilers or anything like that listing. But you know, on the website, the Star Wars website, they have every single one listed, and so the episode 6, next episode is that, and then the next one, episode 7, is extraction. So they're infiltrating and then they're extracting, so makes me think that they're basically on Tannis extracting. It could be something totally different, but
what's episode 9?
Bad territory.
Hmm.
So they get somewhere where they're not supposed to be. Episode 9. The Harbinger. Episode 10.
Well, that makes me kind of think maybe that they're infiltrating to go get the clones. Like, now that they know there are more clones on there than what they initially thought, now do we get Rex involved and some of the other clones that go help release or help these other clones that are on Tanis escape? And then that's the next episode is when they're extracted and then we exactly. We learn more about what they were doing to those clones on Tanis. So you said Harbinger, right? Is the next one after that?
Yep.
So what's the next one after Harbinger?
So that was 10, right?
Yeah.
11 is, or yeah, it's Identity Crisis.
Hmm.
Which maybe we find out about Crosshair then, I don't know.
That sounds like Crosshair, but that sounds almost too easy. So that might be like what your thought is with Omega.
Yeah.
Identity Crisis.
And then the one after that's called Point of No Return.
Hmm. That'd be episode 12. What's the last episode? Do they have it named?
It's episode 11. 12 is Juggernaut.
Hmm.
Something big.
Yep.
Maybe a ship. I don't know. 13 is Into the Breach. So they're breaching something.
That might be when they actually go to the vault.
Could be. Strike is the one after that.
Hmm.
So that's a continuation of the other one. And the final episode is The Cavalry Has Arrived. So maybe they attempt to get to the base a couple times.
Could be. Yeah.
Or they break someone out from somewhere else that they need help to do the final
That's interesting.
Attack.
Well, so based off that, I'm going with they try to go to Tanis to get clones out. They release clones. They get more information from the clones. They put together a plan to go overtake Tanis and destroy it. And then I don't know what happens. I think they try to get to the vault and find out, you know, what's inside the vault. And when they get there,
I wonder if they rescue like Nala Say or Emery Carr, the other clone. I wonder if they rescue one of those people, and obviously they know a lot more information than we've ever told us.
They might go. They're going to try to get Nala Say, but in the process, they also take Emery with them.
Yeah, see, Nala Say knows quite a bit because she's been to the vault, and she knows exactly what everything that the Empire's trying to do there.
Exactly.
Because she's the key. She's the cloner.
Yeah, and will they get them off the planet, and then they come up with plans to go back and, you know, destroy it or whatever? And that might be at that point, whenever they get to the vault, that, like your theory plays out, where Omega basically sacrifices herself for the, you know, the good of the rest of the group. I don't know.
That's interesting. I don't know. I'd almost be willing to think that Dr. Hemlock's paranoid enough that he realizes, oh, you know, the whole group's back together again. Maybe we should mobilize this vault and get it off the planet already. So he's already done it.
Yeah, and because he knows they might be coming to look.
Yeah,
I gotta step inside, dude. It's cold.
Yeah, well, we need to end this anyway. We've been talking too long. We've gone on for an hour and a half now. So let me push the outro while you walk inside.
Thank you for listening to the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room Podcast. Please visit our website where you can play current and past episodes. That's https://rabrkylejohansson.us. That's RABR.
www.kailejohanessen.us. On the left hand side is a navigation menu. You can use this to learn how to load the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room podcast on your Android or Apple phone and tablet. And we have direct links to our podcast on Apple and Google Podcasts. Please participate by connecting to our social media, answering questions of the week, or submitting feedback directly from the site. Again, all of these are available at the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room website at rabr.kailejohanessen.us. This podcast in no way is approved, sponsored, or owned by Lucasfilms Ltd., Disney, Disney Plus, or any of its subsidiaries. All opinions are solely owned by Kyle and or Scott, and in no way express the views or opinions of their past or present employers. Views and opinions are not supported or restricted by Lucasfilms Ltd., Disney, Disney Plus, or any of its subsidiaries. Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or any or other use of this podcast and its affiliate sites without consent of Super Duper Podcast Network and its host is prohibited.
We'll do it.
I am Kyle John Hanson, and this is Andrew Scott Sutton.
Nope.
Say goodbye now.
No, Andrew, he's taking time with doing whatever. But we've got Rick. And it's not a butt. It's he's here more often than not. So we welcome Rick, and that should do it. So we will see you guys next week. We've given you a lot of information this week, and hopefully we'll see what happens next week. Bye bye now. Bye bye. Recording stopped.